This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Final hour of Grant and Danny. At 1:30, we are giving away the Fight Finished official World Series Championship commemorative book. You got to be listening at that time. Right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Jamal Collier. MLB.com covered the Nats all season long. Jamal, let's get right into the tough stuff. I posted a poll on Twitter today. Which Nats player should the team bring back if they can only bring back one? Strasburg or Rendon? 3,700 people voted. None of them were Jamal Collier, though. So, Stras or Rendon, you get to bring one back. Who is it?
Ooh, what did the people say?
57% said Rendon, 43% said Stras.
Okay. You know, because of the cupboard is so bare at third base that I think that if you could only choose one, it just seems harder to replace Rendon. I think that that's probably where I would lean if I had to just bet, you know, on one of them and kind of where one of them projects. I mean, you know, I think the answer to this question from the Nationals' point of view is almost for sure going to be Strasburg. I just think that seeing how important he was to the way that, you know, to them the entire playoffs and obviously winning the World Series MVP, and just kind of the connection that they've had with him from drafting him and on. I think that, you know, I would be very, very surprised at this point still if Strasburg and the organization don't find a way to try to bring something back. I just think that there's just too many reasons why this thing works. My answer to that probably would be Rendon, just considering where the organization is, and you can probably find another really good pitcher out there where I don't think there is another third baseman that's going to kind of give you a level of where Rendon will the next couple of years.
So non-Rendon Strasburg division here. They've got some other free agents. Some are higher profile, some are in the middle, some are low. But among those guys that aren't Strasburg and Rendon, who might they bring back at maybe a more appropriate dollar value for the team?
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Zimmerman, I'm not even really counting as a free agent. I think that there just seems to be enough from both sides to seem confident a deal is going to get back. I would not be surprised to see them maybe revisit something with Yan Gomes as well. You know, Chris Suzuki is not going to be able to play 100 anywhere close to a full season next year, even probably 120 games is probably too much. So you're probably going to need somebody to do a similar split this year. And Yan Gomes, I think, is a better hitter than what he was last season and still kind of had some good defensive intangibles around it. But a lot of the guys who I think are free agents are people that I would be comfortable probably parting ways with, even the guys that really helped you, the Howie Kendricks, you know, at times Matt Adams and such. I just think that there's probably other free agents, other guys on the market who are going to be younger or maybe a chance to have a little bit of higher production next year than some of the guys that they had. I think there's a good chunk of them. Daniel Hudson's another one who I think that they could potentially revisit, but depending on exactly what his deal would look like, I'm not sure how much I would even touch them. It's kind of a weird mix where a lot of these guys were so crucial, obviously, to what they did this season and to the playoff run. But I think there's a good chance a good chunk of those players that we see departing are going to be playing in another uniform somewhere next year.
Jamal Collier covers the Nats for MLB.com. Let's say Rendon walks. What is your plan for replacing him, both at third and then just generally? I mean, you could move things around positionally, but offensively, how do you replace Rendon? What would be your priority list?
Yeah, again, like I alluded to earlier, I mean, you have to get somebody. You know, I don't think that there is enough in the organization, even if moving Carter Kieboom there seems like a huge ask for a guy who just not played there pretty much at all his professional career to all of a sudden be asked to be the third baseman, you know, for the Nats next season. So obviously, like, if you can't get him, the next kind of option there is Josh Donaldson and some of the other guys that might be on the market. I know the Braves are going to want to bring Josh Donaldson back as well. But, it's not going to be very easy to replace that guy because, you're probably looking at right now, at this point, three infield positions that you're going to have to do something with. You probably need to split a platoon with Zimmerman first base, you need a second baseman, and then you're going to have to figure out what you're doing at third base. So I haven't exactly figured out a great plan B for it yet, you know, outside of just go sign the next best guy and Josh Donaldson. But, You know, it's going to have to be creative because I'm just not sure that that production, it's not going to be very easily replaced, and you're going to have to probably do it kind of with like with Harper, where you do it in a couple of different ways, where you know, they signed Patrick Corbin, they signed to upgrade their catchers, they did a couple of different things to make up for just the lost production, just as a team effort, because I don't think there's just one guy that can replace what Rendon gave to you this year.
Jamal Collier covers the Nationals for MLB.com with this year on Grant and Danny. Where else might they try to upgrade? I know it sounds funny talking about a World Series team, but, you know, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. Maybe I'm thinking the bullpen, although they got a couple guys that are ARB eligible that are under contract for next year, we already kind of know. Might they go shopping in that area, or can you not see it?
I mean, I think that this is where they almost certainly should. I mean, in some way, bring in somebody. I mean, let's not forget this bullpen was very bad.
That's right.
Season. And, you know, even the guys who I think like Wander and Tanner Rainey, they're going to be two seasons in this bullpen, then I feel pretty good about bringing those guys back if I'm the Nationals. And I think that they should be helpful. They were helpful this year in some capacity and should continue to get better and hopefully mature more and be a little bit more consistent, you know, as the years come by. But, you know, you need some sure things. And right now, the really only sure thing you probably have going into next year is Sean Doolittle. And he also, you know, was coming off. He's really good at the end and at first, but it's still coming off of a down year compared to where he was over the last, you know, year or two before. So, you know, I think at least another reliable reliever, another guy who you can count on for sure. If you're going to kind of put that with the young guys, you have Strickland and Elias also under contract. You know, I think those guys may have to make the team out of spring training, just kind of depending on the way they finish the season up. But yeah, I mean, this is just one that I think that they just cannot go by without addressing. A lot of World Series teams, I think, fall into this trap that, you know, you win the World Series and you kind of want to bring everybody back. Boston, I thought, was a pretty much an example of that, you know, last year, where they pretty much went outside of Craig Kimbrough, brought the exact same team back, and just some of the career years that you had, or the things that broke right, the guys who broke healthy, just everything doesn't go as right as it did for the Nets in the second half of the season and such. So I think that, you know, it'd be, you know, you don't want to sit on your hands just because you won the World Series. You still want to kind of attack this roster and measure what you saw from the first, you know, 6 months of the season as opposed to what you saw in this past October.
Jamal Collier, MLB.com. What did you make of Davey Martinez not being named one of the three NL Manager of the Year finalists?
Yeah, I have some mixed feelings about that. I'll admit that I had a vote as well in this, and he was on my ballot, and I did debate pretty heavily on where whether or not to keep him on there.
How does the balloting work? Do you vote three guys?
Top three, yeah, top three guys.
So yours were Davey and who else?
In no particular order, Davey, Mike Schilt, and Craig Counsell ends up making mine. But I consider Torrey Lovello from the Diamondbacks. I thought that team did a very good job of hanging around considering the roster they had. I didn't give as heavy consideration to Brian Snicker from winning the award last year. The thing about the Manager of the Year award is it is so subjective from person to person, and there's not a really good criteria. It ends up becoming just the who did we see coming award a lot of times. And, you know, so I think it's just a difficult award to really get a consensus of. Again, a guy like Brian Snicker, who won it last year and is back on the top three this year, was not on my ballot and probably would have been fifth or sixth if you had to ask me to rank. So it's just a very difficult award. I was surprised a little bit, considering the thought that Dave would have a lot of a narrative aspect. But, you know, I mean, as somebody who also watched him from kind of game to game as well, I think that there also were some other things that stood out that were not so great sometimes, managing from the dugout, that I think that if people looking from afar can maybe see those things, I can see maybe why he got penalized for that. But I don't know, man, it's a really hard award to vote for.
Jamal, let's go back
I sympathize with people.
Sorry, let's go back to Strasburg for a second here. I'm not criticizing Steven Strasburg. He was amazing, best shape of his life this past year, moved his family to D.C. in the offseason, et cetera. I just worry that we're spoiled by Max Scherzer, thinking that, of course, guys in there on the north side of 35, of course, they keep pitching at the highest level possible, whereas that's not normal. That's not what's typical. Is there any concern there on the back end of this, what would be another deal for Strasburg, that he may not be the same guy because Father Time is undefeated?
I think so. I mean, you know, I think that's just kind of natural to come with every pitcher. I think, you know, on one hand, I would say that the Nats obviously signed him to a 7-year deal from the beginning. And obviously, the opt-outs were in there, but I think that they've shown a commitment to this guy, to this pitcher, and to try to unlock something. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't know, was Strasburg healthy this year because you know, it was random and these injuries just kind of happened and this year it didn't happen? Or did they find something out in his routine with his preparation, with his mechanics, whatever it is, that's going to help him be healthy for the next couple of years? I don't know the answer to that. And I think it's easy to kind of backdate and say, well, this was healthy, so something worked. Or, you know, is going to do the same thing next year and that not going to work? I think that, you know, again, there just seems to be enough of a bond between the two sides that both, you know, believe and starting pitching is such an emphasis for this team that you know, that's why I keep pointing to the fact that I would be very surprised. This is me speculating that he would be go somewhere else, but you're right. It's just not the biggest biggest way to predict injuries for pitchers usually is pitchers who've gotten injured before. And Strasburg has got a guy who's got a very long history of it. And I think that, you know, it would make me probably a little bit wary seeing where that contract is going to go in years 5, 6, 7. Just can argue that, hey, the window's right now. And if Strasburg, we know right now, is one of the best pitchers in baseball and is capable of doing that. And if you get him for a healthy 30 start, you know, or get him healthy in the playoffs, you can win the World Series on his right arm. So, you know, I think that's just kind of the gamble the Nats are probably going to be willing to take.
Does Anthony Rendon have a shot to win the MVP award?
I think so.
Really?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will, but I think enough of the Yelich getting hurt, so now the games are somewhat equalized there, and Bellinger had such a kind of a down second half. I wouldn't be surprised if he got some first-place votes or got maybe a smattering of at least second-place votes to me. I would probably still bet that he finishes in third. But I don't know. There was some momentum at the end there that about surprised me a little bit even too, just considering the way it felt like it was such a two-man race for the entire season that I think that Rendon's – I wouldn't be surprised if he had more than one first-place vote, put it that way. And that's just, again, me guessing.
Jamal, great job all season long. Please go somewhere tropical and eat fatty foods and gain 0 weight because you're blessed and very, very lucky, and we are not. Thanks, pal.
Thanks a lot, guys. It's been fun all year.
Appreciate you, buddy.
You're the best. There's Jamal Collier of MLB.com. A couple of you guys have been waiting, still want to hop in on our Dwayne Haskins discussion. Is 7 games enough sample at the end of this year to know what to do with him? Should he get more than just this season, regardless of how he looks the rest of the way? Even if you're on the clock in the top five and one of those great young quarterbacks is available for you, 800-636-1067. Plus, there's another question Danny brought up today that I wanted to get into with you guys. So you could pitch that out and see what kind of reaction we get as we continue on G&D on the Fan. Hey, guys, Grant Paulson from my friends at Fauquier County, 40 miles west off I-66 outside the city. 25 wineries, half dozen breweries. This time of year, the best with the apple orchards for apple picking and pick your own farms and pumpkin picking. All of October was a blast. A lot of listeners told me they were out there doing that. Fall farm tours throughout last month, this month, really, really cool. But going into the holidays, they've got all kinds of neat Christmas things and events. Neat, quaint, cute little downtown. Your boy likes getting out of the city. I don't like the rat race. I'm a country guy. I like Fauquier County. A lot of you are like me. So go check them out. You want more details on their tourism opportunities, visit Fauquier.com. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. We're with you until 2 o'clock today and each and every weekday here on G&D. Much appreciate you tuning in, as always. You can hit us up on Twitter if you'd like.
That's funny, Danny, for me. You want Grant H. Paulson, you better put that H in there. Don't you forget that H, otherwise you're going to be weirded out as to why that guy hosts a midday radio show in Washington, D.C. That's all I'm going to tell you. Grant H. Paulson.
Being told Danny has a new nickname. I don't know anything more about this. I'll turn things over to Tom.
He was given a new nickname during the commercial break.
Okay.
And we want him to say what the name of his new nickname is.
I have to do it? Oh, well, I lost it. Did I lose a bet to you, Mullins, or to make a promise? I made a promise at some point while we're doing these post-game shows, etc. And for his amusement, he wants me to refer to myself as, quote, Dan the Rowhair Man. And he's been very excited and trying to prompt me to do that. And I told him I would do it at one point. Like, if the Nats win the World Series or if they beat the Cardinals or something like that, I had to do it. And I've been, frankly, a little afraid to do it. But thank you for putting that on the tee so that it's happened.
Why would you be afraid to do it? It's such a good nickname.
It's not that great. It doesn't roll off the tongue. It takes a little too long.
Mullins, I think the only way that he actually properly pays this off is, like, reintroducing a segment or something at some point. He's like, it's Dan the Row Hair Man.
Just puking my guts out.
And you have to actually own it. You can't just dismiss it and downplay it like you just did. You got to really want it.
Like we're in Market 47, and it's like I'm bringing a brand slam new tune from Slipknot.
Don't we have a guest next?
We do not.
Okay, so Danny can bring it back next segment.
I think that's perfect.
Fair enough.
So you'll be listening for the Grant and Dan the Row Hair Man show. At 1:30. At that time, by the way, we're giving away a copy.
Team Sometime rebrand.
Of Fight Finished, the official World Series Championship commemorative book. So make sure you're listening. You'll be prompted. You got to be the right caller. You could win that prize. Matt in Stafford, you've been waiting patiently.
Matty.
You want to talk Dwayne Haskins with us. What's up?
What's up? Danny Rauer, you always wanted a parade, and you were in the parade.
Yeah, buddy.
Slamming beers, and I'm happy for you, Beast.
Appreciate you, dude.
But how dare you open doors? I mean, come on, who opens doors?
That is inappropriate.
I opened a door that was closed.
That was not reasonable.
Oh, man.
Even if Haskins looks terrible, the new coach is going to have to agree to Mr. Snyder that he's a Haskins guy. And I think number 7 will be in town until his contract runs out. If you remember, RG3, they kept his final year, and it made no financial sense at all.
It made no sense at all.
Crazy things.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you can't really expect reason or logic, which makes the whole thing more complicated from a prediction standpoint. But, you know, we weren't even really predicting what they would do necessarily. I think that's difficult to do for obvious reasons. We're talking about what would be fair to the player and what they should do. Now, I think Haskins is in a really bad spot.
I'm sure of that.
Really bad for this guy. I was going to feel bad for whoever got drafted to the Redskins. If you're a quarterback in the first round, honestly.
Yeah.
Because they were going into a year where you and I both looked at this team and said, they think they are so much better than they are.
Yeah, I didn't think they'd be this bad, by the way.
Well, who did? I mean, no chance. They're on their way to 2-14 or 3-13. But we thought they were 5-11. We thought they were 6-10.
Right.
They're telling you they're a 10-11 win team that's going to make the playoffs. That was never a thing. So whatever quarterback that got taken was probably not going to be in a great spot because of false expectations and them not really knowing what they were. But then you add to that, I think there was a rope pool and a back and forth arm wrestling match probably between the people that wanted Haskins at the very top of the organization and everyone else who said, yeah, I'd rather not do this. And he got stuck in the middle of that, and he still probably is in some way. That's too bad. It does not change, though, that he's either good or he isn't. And we don't know yet if he is. But I guess my point is, and I keep saying this, and I hope I'm not just reiterating it over and over, just because he got drafted 15th doesn't mean he's good. I think that's kind of what everyone's saying is, yeah, but you took him where you took him, so you got to give him a shot. And my point to that is, no, you don't. If a good process got you to drafting him there, then yes, you should give him a chance. If a bunch of smart football folks in your building said you had to take him there, then yes, you need to give him a chance. It is my belief, and this is not just speculative, this is based on everyone I've talked to around this process, that the reason they took Dwayne Haskins in the first round rhymes with Schman Schmider. So I can't just sit here and say, you have to wear this as long as it goes. You made this decision. What if he's not that good?
Right. I don't think you should feel the 100% obligation that, say, the Rams did to see an awful Jared Goff under Jeff Fisher through. Right. I don't think you should feel that same level of obligation. But it's not as if this is a D3 kid. He was a Heisman finalist, who threw for 50 touchdowns at Ohio State, and has got a cannon for an arm that we've seen.
But nothing else to hang his hat on.
Not yet. You're 100%
right. No physical tools, nothing else that we've seen. Like, I was talking to someone the other day about this, who is an NFL person that watches a lot of film.
Yes.
And they said to me, they go, so you tell me, what does Haskins do really well? I said, his arm's unbelievable. Okay, great. They said, just so you know, I think that's the least important thing for a quarterback.
It's true.
I said, that's interesting. They said, if you lined up, 10 tools for a quarterback, arm strength's on the list, but it's toward the bottom. Okay, fine. They said, what else do you like about him? I said, well, what I hear is he's got a lot of arm talent. He had a great college career. And they say, you want me to tell you what I see? And I said, yeah, tell me what you see. They say, I see a guy that doesn't anticipate on throws.
Mm-hmm.
I see a guy that's not that accurate. I see a guy that has trouble getting a second and third looks. I see a guy that doesn't have pocket presence. Now, a lot of those things happen when you're a kid who hasn't played a lot.
Right.
He's that. He's a project. So he shouldn't have gone where he got drafted, but we'll move past that. I don't care if he could do any of those things now. I want to know in a year or two from now, might he be able to?
Right. And what
and that's
I'm
where you need to start to see those signs.
And what I'm saying is, if he's a project, let's treat him as such. Because I've got, to me, projects are usually guys that don't put up numbers, that don't do anything but like run a good number at the combine or throw through a ring somewhere. And you go, oh, well, this is a raw prospect. He's a raw prospect that also was incredibly productive. To me, the thing I like the most, yes, is arm strength. But also, he seems pretty unflappable, seems unbothered. And that sometimes to people, maybe that's off-putting. If nothing bothers you, I'd like you to take something seriously. But he seems to not be hampered by all this stuff swirling around him. He's just kind of putting his head down and
okay,
going about
but,
his business.
Like, that's a compliment you pay someone when they're playing well through all of this. Like,
he's
there
not.
There have been no good moments.
No, of course not.
He's
no
unbothered, which I just want to double-click on this for a second before we move past it. Unbothered is like a compliment you pay someone where something bad is going on, or he throws a pick and he comes back and does something good the next play. We haven't seen those moments where he responded from a bad play.
Well, they've all been bad plays for the most part.
That's what I'm saying. So when you say he's unbothered, what do you mean? Like go to the sideline and like throw something?
Well, partly, but I'm also saying that, you know, this is a bad situation. It's not just on the football field. Everything else that has nothing to do with football is rotten and awful there. Every day, because he's got access to the internet, he knows that somebody else is saying how bad he is. Somebody else is telling Les Carpenter that he can't figure things out. Someone else is telling a different reporter that he's not ready or he's this far away and whatever it is. And so he hasn't gone into the tank. By all accounts, he's redoubled his efforts and actually started to work harder. I like that. I like good responses to bad situations. Now, again, on the football field, we certainly haven't seen him come back from, you know, four picks and make the next great throw. There's been nothing. There's been nothing to hang your hat on just yet. I'm fully aware of that. I'm watching the same games you are. I guess my point is there's still something worth trying to see if he's going to be okay.
Of course.
And I would rather take that chance and then build the rest of the roster than cast that aside, not build the rest of my roster, and take another quarterback that's going to be in the same bad spot who would have to climb out of the pit that the Redskins are
right
now.
What if that quarterback's a lot better, though? And that's kind of my question.
I get that. And that is the risk.
I don't want to pass up on Carson Wentz or I don't know right now what Baker Mayfield is. Now
right.
We're down on him. Last year, everyone loved him.
It should have been rookie
of the
year,
really
in my
got the party yeah. everyone threw for Sam Darnold. I kept asking you about that, by the way, at the beginning of the year. I'm like, why? Mm-hmm. Why did everyone love him so much? But you know, whoever it is, you don't want to pass up on the guy that could turn the whole thing around. Now, Robert Griffin looked like maybe he was a transcendent talent. Had he have continued to run an offense they wanted to run, maybe he could have done that.
Best example for me is Jacksonville, where they were happy with Bortles, and they took Leonard Fournette instead of Deshaun Watson or Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, they just kind of kept running it back with that dude.
We got a guy.
We'll try it.
Do you?
It hurt him. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Here on The Fan, your chance to win a cool Nats prize next.
We're Window Nation, guys. Here's why. They're great at what they do. Let them. They have installed over 150,000 windows last year. Over 10,000 online positive reviews. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. Installed over 450,000 windows in over 80,000 homes, including ours. The experience start to finish, perfect. Give them a chance to help you.
Buy two windows right now. Get two windows free. Plus, get 0% financing for 60 months with Window Nation. You're buying two, you're getting two. Great opportunity. They've installed over 150,000 windows in the last year. 99.5% of the time, they didn't need to do a follow-up service. Over 10,000 positive online reviews. I love Window Nation. They've been in my house within the last few days working on a window for me.
We endorse this company because they've done wonderful work for us. Call them. 866-90-NATION. That's 866-90-NATION or online at windownation.com. It's Grant and Dan around here, man. 106.7, The Fan. Yes, that does rhyme, and I know we were aware of that before I started to do this, and yet here we are. I always like it when inside jokes for almost four people make it on the air and no one has any idea what we're talking about.
I just said to you, I said there are three people that will enjoy this, but let's make it good. Can you start it again, though, Thom? Here's what I want to do. You sandbagged a little bit.
I did?
Kind of. You're like, oh, it rhymed and we knew that. You're kind of like dismissing the Rowhair Man or whatever it is.
Okay.
So I want you to really do it. Does that make any sense? I want you to do it for real. I want you to be happy to be doing it. I want this to be like...
Like, you want me to puke, or you want me to do like a...
Yeah, do a little puking, but also just, it's Wednesday. This is your normal show. This is your normal
day. Wednesday, everybody. All right, here we go.
When you're ready, Thon.
What it is, guys. Happy Wednesday out there. It's Grant and Dan down the rail here, man. Plenty of tunes coming up later on for you later on this hour. Get your requests on the hotline, 800-636-1067. Sports topic of the moment here, dipping our big toe into sports.
Hang on.
What do you want the Redskins to do the rest of the way?
Hang on. Okay, one more request.
No, come on. Seriously?
One more request.
I did everything you want. I'm not a puppet. I'm a person.
Just one more request.
Fine, go.
You said a bunch of stuff about music, like this is a music station.
Yeah, because I'm doing a little puking.
Right, but this is Danny Ruye and Grant and Danny.
God's
this is
sakes.
The Grant and Danny show. I need you to tease what's left in the show.
So we're doing this for the fourth time now.
The fourth time, but here also we're giving away this prize.
All right, let me do that.
So that's caller 10.
You want to do caller 10 now?
Caller 10 is, by the way, extremely antiquated and ridiculous that we do caller 10s, as far as I'm concerned. So that'll work out well with puking, because that's what they did 30 years ago in radio. So go for it.
It's only, wait a minute, hold on. So, okay. We're doing... You want to keep doing the Haskins conversation, too, by the way? We're going to keep doing that? Or you want to do my other one?
It's your show, man. You set up however you want.
Oh, for God's sake.
I think, yeah.
Jesus. The segment's almost over, by the way. Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, everybody out there driving around. Thanks for tuning in. It's Grant and Dan and the Rowhair Man on 106.7 The Fan. Coming up in about, 12 minutes, I have a chance to win a copy of Finish the Fight. Official World Series Championship Commander in a book of your Washington Nationals. Heard they won the championship or something. Topic of the moment, though, give us a call, 800-636-1067. What do you want for the Redskins rest of the way? What do you want them to do, win, lose, or draw? What's best for the team? We're going to tackle that topic, football pun intended, on 106.7 The Fan's Grant and Dan Dan the Rowhair Man program coming at you live from 1015 Half Street, Southeast. Enough. Is that enough?
That's fine. I was extremely out on the bit, but now that you went all in, I'm in on the bit. I think Mullins and Thommy actually hit a homer here. At first, I was skeptical. I think I like it now.
You got annoyed.
I came around. Let's go to JaVale and Culpepper. What's up, JaVale? Thanks for calling Grant and Dan Dan the Rowhair Man.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing today?
What's up, buddy?
Very well.
Good, man. Hey, a couple quick points. Grant, I understand what you said about, you know, if you get a top pick, say first three, and there's a generational talent there. You know, you use the analogy of Andrew Luck. You know, I would throw, you know, a Peyton Manning in there as well as a first overall pick at the quarterback position.
Sure.
However, I believe quarterback is the toughest position in sports, you know, when it comes to GMs and organizations drafting them. I don't feel that there is a generational talent. Tua is good, but one thing on Tua, he has probably the best talent around him. And Nick Saban has never produced an above-average quarterback that transitions to the NFL level. The kid at LSU, I've heard several people say that offense is a glorified high school offense, which Dwayne has been knocked on, you know, for a run at Ohio State. The kid at Oregon is good, but I don't feel that he is that generational talent. So when it comes to Dwayne and what the Skins should do, you know, take example last year's draft. Okay, you have Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Josh Allen. You know, you have all these high quarterbacks, you know, picked, and it turns right out that at this point, you have Lamar Jackson, who was the last pick of the first round, who's turned out to be the best quarterback out of all of them.
Well,
you know,
I wouldn't necessarily agree with that, but keep going.
Okay, so when it comes to what the Redskins are going to do next year, unless they bring in a coach as Arizona did with Kingsbury, and he's in love with, you know, the next Kyler Murray, whoever is going to be at the top of the draft board, and they're willing to change that entire offense, I think you give Haskins a chance. And if, Grant, what your opinion is on the selection of Haskins, if that was truly Snyder, that won't happen because it will be a mandate that the coach gives Haskins a chance.
Well, I'm not so sure of that, by the way. I mean, I'm sure that he'll have a mandate for sure. I'm not sure that it won't happen that Snyder won't pick the next guy, too. Like, a lot of owners are involved in picking quarterbacks, coaches, as they should be to some extent. We know that. I just don't think they should be the only voice that matters in the room. There's some things about that call I agree with. largely. I guess my point is, and this will sort itself out. This is the beauty of this. We're having this conversation on November 6th. We're going to have a lot more sample, Danny. We're going to have a lot more research information.
We just want the data.
Analysis,
man.
Data. It's all coming back. We're going to be able to compute it all by the end of this thing. As of right now, I can say confidently, and if people are annoyed, that's fine. Nothing Dwayne Haskins has done gives me confidence that he is a franchise quarterback. Would you disagree with that?
Not to this point, no.
So hopefully that changes. If by the end of this season he starts to look the part, and again, I'm not looking for 300-yard games. It's not happening. I'm not looking for 3 touchdown games. Maybe one or two of those happen, but that's not going to be a regular thing either. I'm just talking about the eyeball test of watching an NFL game like you do with some of these other young quarterbacks. I don't know if Josh Allen's that good, to be honest with you. But he makes plays all the time. And he makes throws inconsistently, but all the time. Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, you know, pick your young quarterback. They all immediately started to flash, is the word I'll use. They showed something, then they'd make a dumb play. Then they'd throw a pick that they shouldn't have. It's called being a rookie quarterback. It happens. Being a young quarterback, it's all part of it. But there's good, bad, good, bad, good, bad. We haven't had the good yet. We've had the nothing bad, nothing bad, right. Nothing. I'm waiting just for some spikes. Yeah. And when I see those, then I can say, okay, I've seen enough. Let's give him another year. Let's draft a left tackle. Let's get a wide receiver for him. I'm just saying he doesn't get a blank 2-year check for me like I would normally give a quarterback that a head coach and a GM decided they wanted to work with. That's all I'm saying.
I get that. I mean, the comp, think of Daniel Jones, for example, leads the universe in turnovers, but there's enough plays where you go, this is worth it. This is worthwhile, right?
Yeah, if you watch Daniel Jones and you don't see he's a franchise quarterback potentially for the Giants,
right?
Then you're trying to make your narrative from before the draft work because he has done a lot of things that look like what it looks like in the NFL already. He's athletic. He makes plays. He makes throws. He leads touchdown drives. He's sharp at times. He's crisp in and out of the huddle. He's a great example. He also does some boneheaded things. It's almost like he's a rookie quarterback.
Right, and that's kind of what I think everybody wants to see because I haven't seen it yet. I still hold out hope that it's possible.
But you know why we haven't seen it is because he hasn't played. So my hope is in these 7 games we see it. I thought when he came off the bench against the Giants, to me, that was the most alarming thing that's happened yet because that was a bad defense. And everyone says, oh, he wasn't prepared. You know, you talk to a backup quarterback or a quarterback in this league about coming off the bench and they'll tell you that's a godsend, that opportunity. Because teams didn't prepare for you. The momentum of the game is different. You're losing by a lot, and you're playing soft prevent coverages. You should be able to put up numbers that are basically fake production that make you look better. And they didn't do that day. He was just throwing picks left and right in the second half. That was alarming to me. I just want to see some sparks.
Sparks.
That's all I'm looking for.
Yep.
Nicholas Sparks. Name one of his books.
I can't. I have no file on who that is.
The Notebook is one.
Who's Nicholas Sparks?
Good call by Thom. Nicholas Sparks is the guy that writes all the books that women love. Love stories.
Oh, I can't believe I missed those.
Yeah, you missed them.
I missed them.
You should have. That's right up our alley.
Who's Jordan Sparks? Is that a singer?
Singer from Arizona. She's involved in everything in Phoenix. And Jordan Sparks was an American Idol finalist.
I feel like she always sings the national anthem. And I always ask my wife,
Phoenix.
Who is that?
Yeah, in Phoenix. She does it. I'm going to say in Phoenix again.
You should say Phoenix.
I mean, have I said in Phoenix enough
is
in the last
two? Is there a pro team called the Sparks?
Where is she from?
Hold on. Let me Google. Oh, wait. It's Phoenix.
Phoenix.
I don't know if she's from Phoenix. I just know she sings there all the time. So hopefully
she's from Phoenix. The LA Sparks are a team, aren't they?
All right, we're giving away your Nats prize next. We'll tell you how when we get back on Grant and Danny on the Fan. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Stretch Run is here. Final few minutes of the show. Right now, you got to be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You're going to win a copy of Fight Finished, the official World Series Championship commemorative book. It's a hardcover, full-color book. Covers the entire season and victory parade for a limited time. 1067 the Fan, that's you guys, our listeners, can save 25%. When you order your copy this week at worldseriesbook.com, but you got to use the code THEFAN at checkout, courtesy of Skybox Press. Details at thefandc.com/contests. So, right now, be the 10th caller, win that prize. That's one of those, I like this prize so much, I'm going to actually buy one myself.
Oh, nice.
Why would I not want that on my living room coffee table? That sounds awesome.
I think you'd want that.
Yeah. You want me to get you one?
No, I'm going to keep personal stuff from this. You know what I mean? I'm going to keep, like, make a little collage, like the World Series hat I got, the credentials from the various rounds and, you know, the different things and the lanyards and souvenir ticket that I bought for me and my dad, that kind of stuff. I'm gonna keep those sorts of things.
You know what you could do is you could get those, and then you could slide them into the pages of this commemorative book.
You could crease the book, yeah.
And then you could have all of those things together whenever you wanted to reminisce.
That's a good point.
Caps run, Nats run. You only get to keep one. Which one are you keeping?
Now that I know both are available, wow, that's amazing. With all due respect,
for the record, I'm not going to answer the question, so if you don't want to, you don't have to.
No, I'm going
to
answer it. I'm going to pose the same to you and make sure that you dodge it.
I'm definitely not
going to. For what baseball meant to me and what my dream was, the majority of my life was to be DC's Cal Ripken, and I just wasn't very good, so that kind of ended that. But this is sort of the fulfillment of that, the idea that we could not only have a team, but they could be good and they could win a World Series. That's something I never thought I would see. So it's that one, and again, that doesn't disrespect what the Capitals did and gave me that gift of taking the poison away and the venom and taking us off all those terrible lists is something I can never repay. Grant, you can only keep one. The Capitals or the Nationals championship run. Which one do you keep?
Not playing your game? No, I'm just kidding. This is hard. So,
I think it would be Caps for you, wouldn't it? Am I wrong?
I'm leaning Caps. I think what's going to put the Caps over the top for me is that it was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
You never forget your first.
No, you don't.
I didn't know what that felt like. I always wondered. I always dreamed of a championship and one of my teams that I love. What does that feel like? And that's when I found out. Now, the Nats was more unlikely, and it was crazier, and the bumps were probably larger along the way. The run itself was just epic. You know, baseball I care about more than I do hockey as a sport. I love the Caps more than I love the NHL. I love Major League Baseball, period. I'll watch the Rays play, the Giants and Interleague play on a Wednesday night at 10 p.m. at AT&T Park any day of the week. But I think I'm going Caps because it was the first one, and it taught me that it's okay to believe or something like that.
It's something to that effect.
Shtick aside, I'm going Caps because I learned what it felt like.
I get it.
And then it made me want the Nats when I'm like, oh, my God, what if we got to do this again?
It
was so fun. What if we were at another parade and there was another championship and strangers were hugging each other again? And there is an addiction to this thing. And it gets scary. You think about Boston. You're like, they've had enough. But the point is, you can never have enough. You see what I'm saying?
I get it.
Oh, Boston fans, just give other people a chance. No, you just kind of get used to it and you want it.
It's so desirable.
It's fun.
It's the best food.
It's like going out to eat and eating something delicious. You don't say, I went out to eat yesterday. I don't want to go out tonight. Maybe you don't have the money to do it every night, or maybe you got to stay home for the baby or something.
Just have one dessert, said the person who doesn't get it.
No, I want ice cream.
All the time.
Ice cream.
Just have one bread pudding.
Just one bread pudding, Danny.
Or three bread puddings. Or what was it? Five was total in 2 days?
But if you ate ice cream on like a Monday, and then Tuesday comes around, are you going to tell yourself, well, I had ice cream yesterday, so I'm not going to have ice cream again?
I hate to interrupt. Yeah. But we're going to have to maybe expand on this tomorrow a little bit, because we did exclude one championship team in this whole argument.
Valor, Mystics.
Mystics. We got to redo it, but with the Mystics. You can only have one.
I think my choice would probably – anyway, I guess you're right about that. We probably should redo it.
And I would incorporate 10-15? The Valor. Your boy got to be on the call throughout that season.
You did do that.
That personally meant a lot to me.
We'll do that at 2:30 in the break room. How about that?
I can't. I have a dentist appointment.
Okay.
I'm literally
going.
You
have to go. It's not your fault.
I have a doctor's appointment today at 2:30.
Do you really?
But I can't make that.
To fix your teeth?
I have a dentist appointment.
I'll try to cram in at 2:30 at 1:56.
Anyway. No, I actually do have a doctor's appointment. I'm going to.
No, that I believe. I don't believe you have a dentist appointment.
No. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Chad Dukes versus the world is up next. If you missed any part of the show today, go to thefandc.com right now.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.